Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and if you have ever aspired to be a wonderful personality up on the screen, do you admire actors and actresses? Do you want to learn how to be more comfortable in your own skin, but also to be aware of how you can make life work effectively for you with a little bit of insight and understanding? Well, I'll tell you what, we have a marvelous guest today. His name is Daryl Hickman. His wonderful book is called Out of Control, In Full Command, The Unconscious Actor. And let's face it, we are all actors and actresses in this wonderful, wonderful experience of life. But how many of us really know how to make it work? Well, Mr. Daryl Hickman does. Daryl, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. You're very, very nice to do that.
Well, it is fabulous. I can't tell you how excited I was when I got your book from Milton Kahn, and I started reading through it. I mean, you have such a phenomenal array of experience. Your story, your life story, is utterly fascinating, and we're going to go into a little bit of that. But you have developed, through all of your experiences in life, something we're going to be getting into. It's what you call the mechanics of creativity. And it is a different approach that you yourself developed. But let's go back. Let's go back to that conversation that you had with your mom one day when you said, "Mom, how come I was at a movie studio involved in making movies when I was 3 years old?" Now, not many people can say that when they were 3 years old, they were in front of cameras. And your mother, you said you didn't have a picture of your mother that in your book, but from what your description was, she was just a beautiful woman.
She was.
And so what was her response?
I said, "Mom, how come I was out making movies when I was 3 years old?" She said, "It's something you always wanted to do." And I laughed, and she didn't. And I realized, it took me a long time to figure it out, but my career was really her career. She wanted to be a movie star more than anything in the world. She wanted to be in the movies. She was in love with the movies. And she was so shy, she could hardly get her picture taken. She was gorgeous and bright and all of that good stuff. But see, I had no fear. I was a child, and I guess I was born to do it. So I went out there and I did it for her.
Now, you could sing, you could dance, you did so much, not unlike Shirley Temple, and you just fell into so many different things. But your mother, like you said, was out there just saying, "Hey, you can do this." And you say, you describe yourself as a primitive, unconscious actor before you could even read or write.
Exactly.
What is a primitive, unconscious actor?
Well, the reason I called the book The Unconscious Actor is because I think all of us who work, who really aspire to be artists on the deepest possible level, are coming from the deeper part of ourselves, which I consider to be a spiritual part of ourselves, a very significantly spiritual part of ourselves. So all great creativity, whether it's performance art or any other kind of creativity, comes from the deeper self. And for want of a better word, we call that part of ourselves the unconscious. But the imagination, the heart center, the emotional center, the origin of inspiration, the part of us that is connected to a more cosmic consciousness, it's all down there deep inside of us. And unless we get below the surface of our conscious minds and we learn how to stop thinking once in a while, we don't really access the part of ourselves that is the huge reservoir of creativity.
One of my favorite actors was Spencer Tracy.
Oh, mine too. He may have been my favorite actor.
I would watch that man on the screen, and he was the personification, whether he was playing the rat or he was playing the fisherman dealing with a little boy. He was it. I mean, he had this down, and you got into him. That, to me, whenever I watch something in a movie, and this has been ever since I've been a little person, it has been, I can feel what they're feeling.
Yes.
I'm there. I'm in it. I'm
yes.
suffering with them. I'm passionate with them. I'm laughing with them.
Yes.
And that is what, to me, designates a good actress or actor.
Exactly. I had the privilege of doing two films with Mr. Tracy, and I can tell you that playing a scene with him was a unique experience. I felt like I was talking to somebody, and they were listening to me from the deepest part of themselves. Mr. Tracy's unconscious was present on the set every moment.
That's an incredible experience. You also talk about a Gregory Radoff, who is a mad writer.
Yes, Gregory Radoff. He was a wonderful man. He was kind of crazy, but he was a fabulous man.
Why did he impress you so much?
Well, he was extravagantly Russian, and first of all, I had to learn to conduct an orchestra. Robert Taylor and I both learned to conduct an orchestra for the movie Song of Russia, and Radoff knew more about the musical literature than the man who was teaching us how to conduct, who was a great conductor from England, Paul Coates. And Radoff, I mean, he knew so much. He was such a man of the world, and yet he was so gracious, and he was so good to me. He called me Darl Hicks, and he called my mother Mrs. Hicks. He never quite got Daryl Hickman or Mrs. Hickman, but I'll settle for anything he said to me.
You have dealt with so many of the very, very famous actors and actresses. Elizabeth Taylor, you've just known so many. You've known Bing Crosby, Katharine Hepburn, who is another one of my favorites. You have been involved with Mickey Rooney, Barbara Stanwyck, Deborah Carr. You've got a list that seems to go on forever.
It really does.
And all of these phenomenal movies, many of them like Tea and Sympathy, Rhapsody in Blue, Meet Me in St. Louis, Judy Garland, I mean, so many of them. Again, the list goes on and on and on. But a lot of this acting, you didn't take classes for. You were told what the character was, and how did you go about finding that character inside of you?
Well, I never had time to have any training. When I was at MGM, I was there almost 7 years with Elizabeth Taylor and Jane Powell going to school with the kids on the lot. And they put me in so many movies. See, I was never a big star. They used me as a kind of a utility character actor at 10 or 11 years old, and I sometimes earlier than that. But they just put me in so many movies, and apparently I had the instincts, because like in the film I did with Tracy, the Keeper of the Flame, Tracy and Hepburn, by the way, the director was maybe the best acting teacher anybody could ever have, George Cukor. And I remember a scene I did with Tracy where he taught me how to block out a scene, how to lay out a scene with what we call in the acting business beats and blocking. And I didn't know what he was doing. He was supplying me with the technique, and I was giving him my heart, my feelings, and my belief. And so I learned, and I remember Tracy saying to me, you know, if you take a pause there, you'll make a better transition. I didn't even know what a transition was, but I got the sense of it, and that's how I learned how to act. I was very, very lucky.
You bring up George Cukor in your book, saying that he taught you the magic of how to program your unconscious and enabling you to trust yourself to play from your own sense of truth.
Exactly.
Now, when you're looking at a role, and there are so many young people, actually people of all ages, that love to participate in little theater, in their communities, and they're out there and they go, how could I sense my own truth? It's a fascinating thing when you're watching people and when they're trying to make it real And when they come from within themselves, the difference is like 2,000 leagues. It's phenomenal.
Yes, you see, at the same time, it's extremely simple and quite complex because, see, here's the main thing about modern acting. The main thing about modern acting, and you alluded to this earlier, the main thing about modern acting is that we have to be who we are and come from our deepest self and tell the truth. And if we can learn how to do that in front of a camera or on a stage in front of an audience, we don't need a lot of craft. We need to believe. We need some craft. The mechanics are important, but the most important thing is the being who you are and the telling the truth from your heart and your soul. Now, what some acting teachers do, in fact, too many acting teachers do, and too many people who train performing artists do, is train them to work from their conscious minds instead of training them to be who they are from their deeper selves. And that's the key to good training.
That's part of what we're going to be talking about, the techniques that you've developed, because that is very, very much at the heart of what you do in your classes. You've got to talk about how you decided at one point in your life you were going to be a monk. How long did that last?
It lasted 32 days. I was born and raised by a devout Catholic mother, and I was very religious in my childhood, and I still am. I went to Mass this morning. But the point is, I wanted to serve God. I had made 100 movies or so, and I was 21 years old, and I wanted to do something, you know, to contribute. And so I decided to go be a Passionist monk. I prayed about it. I thought about it a lot. And I finally went and gave it a shot, and I just couldn't make it, that's all. It wasn't right for me, let's put it that way. I think what I've done in my life is what I was meant to do, but I had to try it in order to find out that that really wasn't for me. I was so devoted that if I hadn't tried it, I'd have never forgiven myself.
I think that kind of integrity and honesty with oneself enables one to do exactly what you've done, to really go into the industry and give your heart into it and have a journey that when other people hear about it and when they're able to actually read about it in your book, The Unconscious Actor, they go, wow, could I do that? And
see,
your answer is yes, they can.
Yes, exactly. And I wrote the book, of course, for my fellow actors, my fellow performing artists, and those in the drama business. But I really wrote it for everybody because it is my conviction, after being a teacher now for 30 years, among other things I've been doing, writing and a whole lot of other things, in teaching, I realize that the same mechanics of creativity, as I call it, that are in actors, the really good actors, and other performing artists, are the mechanics that are in all of us. It's a God-given part of our humanity. And it's in us from the day we're born. And if the society would help us learn how to use the tools that we're born with properly, we could create anything we want to create. So this is the main reason I wrote this book. I wrote it to put the process out there, what I teach, the philosophy behind the process. But I wanted to say to as many people as I could, look, you can do anything that we can do who have been trained to be a performing artist. You can perform the same way in your own lives because you have the same equipment in you because you were born with it. If I can get that message across to enough people, I can help a lot of people. And that's really the main reason I wrote the book.
I agree with you. I love one of the sentences in your book. One of your rules is, to never walk on a set or into a rehearsal hall if you don't bring with you a healthy dose of self-respect. Boy, can that be applicable to any area of life.
I try to say that to my younger actors who are so eager to get out there and get a job and prove themselves. And they're going on auditions when they don't really know how to audition. And they walk away from an audition feeling like a failure. And I say, look, all you've got in the beginning is your confidence in yourself, your respect for yourself. And if you go out there prematurely, you're not ready and you're not going to feel good about yourself. It's this simple. We've got to learn to love ourselves. And if we don't love ourselves, how are we going to love anybody else? And if there's anything we need in this world, it's more self-love and mutual love. Am I wrong?
I agree with you. And there is a component in life. I know I had to grow through it, and I know so many of my listeners have had the same experience. Often we're taught not to value ourselves, that we don't have value, but others are more valuable than we are. And so consequently, you should be out there being self-sacrificial in everything you do because you're not really worthy. And when you have a wake-up call and you go, excuse me, it's sort of like the V8 commercial, you know, where the guy gets thunked in the forehead.
Yes.
Well, it's the same kind of thing that will happen to us at one point when suddenly we realize as a doormat of life we can be replaced, and it's like, excuse me, do I want to continue this scenario? The answer is no. Then we have to look at what is it that we're lacking. And the very thing that you're mentioning, the lack of self-respect, self-appreciation, loving ourselves. It doesn't mean you have to be narcissistic, for heaven's sakes. It means that you appreciate the wonderful gift of who you are.
That's the most important thing in acting and the most important thing in life.
I think that's very true. Talk to us a little bit about Konstantin Stanislavski, this wonderful personality that helped you to evolve to where you are with your method.
I consider Stanislavski the master. I grew up in an era where everybody talked about the method, the method, the method. And I was not trained in New York, where most of the method training was being done. I grew up on a film set and learned from George Cukor and Spencer Tracy. And when I was a young actor, I felt the need to understand the craft better. And fortunately, I picked up Stanislavski's wonderful autobiography, My Life in Art. And he became a guide for me. And in fact, he's the most important influence on my life in terms of my teaching because I realized that where he was coming from was where I was coming from. He was coming from a very spiritual place, and he put it out there in a way that was not easy for us to get in this country because the translations of his books were not wonderful. I've read them all. I've reread other translations. The point is, Stanislavski pointed the way for me, as well as the great Italian actress Eleonora Duse, because they approached acting from a spiritual point of view. I worked with Lee Strasberg at the Actors Studio for years. I have great respect for Lee Strasberg. He was a brilliant man, but he was basically an intellectual, and he really didn't trust his deeper self. He didn't trust his unconscious, and it was Stanislavski from whom I got that phrase, unconsciousness. So it was like a discovery when I found Stanislavski, and I've been trying to bring Stanislavski into the 21st century ever since.
You yourself went through your own spiritual journey, learning from these other people, and you got into the study of metaphysics. How did that change your life and your perception about the industry that you were in?
See, I was born with a hunger to understand what might be the deeper parts of being a human being. I was always interested in metaphysics and spiritual things. I was reading mystical books when I was in my teens, and I'm still reading them, and I'm still searching for a deeper understanding of what it really means to be a human being. And to me, it's the cornerstone of everything I've done as a professional, and I've done so many different things, but I would never have been as successful as I've been, and I have been very successful in everything I've done. I would never have been as successful as I was as a professional if I hadn't been coming to it from a deeper place. And I'm trying to pass that on to my students through my book, through my workshops, and so on. I'm trying to say to them, if you really go to who you really are, which is there's a spiritual essence in you, and you learn how to open the door to that power, to that wisdom, to that understanding, to that sense of truth, and you really can put that out into the world in a skilled way, why, my goodness, you can create anything and you can influence anybody. So it's all there to do. The problem, as you suggested earlier, is when we're young people, we're not told of our dignity. We're not told of our power. We're not told how wonderfully creative we are. So we grow up and we get frustrated and we try to find our way and we make mistakes and all of that. And all we need is for somebody to tell us how to use what's in us already. Do you see? And that's why this book is probably the most important thing I've ever done, because I'm reaching out to touch as many people out there as I can and to tell them who they really are and what they can really do.
And I would say you have become so masterful at what you have done. And I loved a couple of statements that you made. You said mystics are invariably mavericks, outsiders, and they almost never fit the mold. Boy,
never.
That's the truth.
Am I wrong?
You are right. I mean, it is something that many times people like yourself, anyone that is a nonconformist, that's a standard term to use, but they perceive things differently. They'll come from different angles. They are frightening to people that are in the box.
That's exactly right. And people in the box is a great phrase, because most of us live... I said to my son once, I have a very brilliant son, but I said to him once, you know, you're living in a thought box. You're stopped because you're not going beyond the power of thought. You're not going to the deeper self. And he said, ah, Dad, you know, you're crazy, and so on. Well, he's now, you know, in his 40s, and he's beginning to find out that I was right in the first place. We've got to come at it from another angle. We can't come at it from the way everybody else comes at it, because that's called mediocrity. And if we want to be special, and we all have specialness in us, we've got to come at it from a different place, a different slant. Would you agree?
Oh, I'd agree. It's not fun sometimes when you do it that way, but what an adventure.
No, sometimes I'll be real honest with you. I have known so many people in my professional life. I've been well treated. I've been to the best places and done the best things, but I've always felt like I was kind of alone, because I was coming from my own place and I never quite fit. You know, I was a member of the board of directors of the Screen Actors Guild and AFTRA at the same time. The only actor at that time who'd ever done that. And I was part of them, and they were part of me, but I was still coming at it from my own place. So I really wasn't the same as them. I was with them, and they were part of me, and I was part of them, but I was still coming from that other place. Does that make sense?
That's what I call the role of the individual self.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
And when you are the individual self, you are able to be wherever you are in that moment, be present in that moment, and never lose who you are as an individual. You don't have to sacrifice who you are as an individual. You can just be that person.
Boy, do I agree with that.
You talk about the influence of Kenzo Awa regarding Zen. And you said Zen acting originates in the deeper self, and the way of the artless art, which is part of your mechanics of creativity, is not easy to do. Why?
Well, I see, when I first started teaching, I knew I'd never taught. I'd never been a teacher. I knew I needed a methodology. I knew what I wanted to teach from Stanislavski and Eleonora Duse. They had given me guidance as to what I wanted to teach, but I wasn't sure how to teach it. And I was living in New York at the time, and a friend of mine was a director, and he handed me a book called Zen in the Art of Archery. And I read Zen in the Art of Archery, and Master Awa is the Zen master in question, and he was training this German academician to learn how to apply Zen to the art of archery. And I said, this is how I want to train actors, the same way he's training this man. I knew nothing about Zen, but it all made sense to me based on all my other spiritual and metaphysical investigation. So that became the basis for my training methodology. And it's very simple. It boils down to this. Get your ego out of the way. Connect with a greater force than you, what George Lucas calls the force. get in touch with the greater power that's in the universe and open the door to that, get your ego out of the way, and go.
One of my favorite stories in your book was about Dustin Hoffman. And in one of his roles, where he had to wear high heels and dress like a woman.
Tootsie,
yes.
Yeah.
I just loved it when you said he walked all over New York City in high heels for weeks.
And he did. He did. He wore different wigs. He wore dresses. He wore the high heels. He was trying to find the right walk. He was trying to find the truth of Tootsie in himself. And I've always admired him as a skilled artist. And part of being a skilled artist is doing your homework and really applying yourself. And Dustin Hoffman is one of those actors who points the way to the rest of us. He does his homework. And that's why he was traipsing all over New York in high heels for 6 months.
Right. Just to know, first of all, to learn how to walk in the stupid things.
Right.
That's a challenge in itself.
That's what I'm told.
Woman, yes. Oh, believe me. I can remember my first experience with him, and I have to laugh every time I think about it. But the flowing through, you make a statement, and Stanislavski originated it, that living through the role, that's what Dustin Hoffman was trying to do, that's what Meryl Streep does. I watch Gene Hackman, Anthony Hopkins. I mean, these are character actors and actresses. There are so many. Sally Field, there's just so many, many, many of them that are just absolutely awesome. They can play the most evil of personalities to the saintliest.
They are awesome. And while you're on the subject, Stan, one of the things that I learned from Stanislavski that I still apply greatly in my training program is how to get the actor to access the use of the body. You see, in the United States, we've trained for about 80 years since Lee Strasberg. We've trained the inner self. We've trained the emotional life. We've trained the imagination. Where we've fallen short is we haven't trained the actor's voice and especially the actor's body. So people like you're mentioning, you know, the Meryl Streeps of the world, they have to get out of school and they have to learn how to do what Stanislavski was telling us all we had to do. Connect our deeper self to our bodies and our voices, and to let the body play the role rather than the thinking mind. It's getting into the body consciousness. Performing is all about performing on the physical level, and if we're not good at expressing ourselves physically, we're not going to be very interesting performers.
And I think that applies to so much in life. If you are not really true to yourself, how can you really be of interest to anyone else? And if you cannot find yourself interesting, if you're not willing to develop yourself as a person, no wonder people are bored with you. That sounds rather callous, but that is the way it is. And when you can create interest, when you can say, wow, I'm a unique individual, I don't know maybe all the reasons why I'm here, but you start a journey of personal exploration, which you yourself have gone through, that's evolved you to where you have developed this wonderful mechanics of creativity, which you're teaching to as many who are interested in learning about it. And now you've put out your book. There is so much there. People will stand in awe and will say, oh, aren't you lucky? But it's not luck, is it, Dale?
No, it's not. I'll tell you one thing, and I'm sure you'll agree with this. It isn't something that you do and then you go on recreating it or repeating it. It's something that you get up every morning and you start doing all over again, and you never get it. You're always on the journey, on the road. You're always reaching for more. You're always learning how to deepen your understanding of your creativity. It's an ongoing process, and it's not somewhere you get. It's somewhere you keep on the road to. And if we can get people to realize that, just take the first step, and then take the second step, that the journey is really what counts. And we might not get where we think we want to go right away. Oftentimes we'll get there in spite of ourselves. So we have to take those first steps and move in the direction that we dream of going. We have to dream big, and we have to get rid of our self-limitations, and we have to go for something that's really going to fulfill us and create the destiny we want to create.
Daryl Hickman has been my guest today. His wonderful book, The Unconscious Actor, The Art of Performance in Acting and in Life. Now, Daryl, do you have a website?
I do have a website. It's Daryl Hickman, DarrylHickman.net. People can get the book from the website. It's also in the bookstores. It's at Borders and Barnes and Noble. They can get it from Amazon.com. But if they have trouble getting it, they'll probably have to order it, but they can get it if they want to get it. It's out there, and it's in the bookstores. So, and if they want to come to me, they can get it through my website, darylhickman.net.
Daryl, it has been a delight having you as a guest. Thank you so very, very much. And when you come on with your next book, I want to get it.
Well, I can't thank you enough. I've had a great time.
Wonderful. My guest today, Daryl Hickman. His book, The Unconscious Actor. Go to his website, darylhickman.net. And Daryl is DarrylHickman.net. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. We'll come back in just a moment. More good things to share. Don't you go away now.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.DelphiInternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and her website is www.DelphiInternational.com.
Hello, and this is Donna Sebo. It is a delight to be with you. By the way, Daryl Hickman's book, if you know of anyone who is interested in show business or anything of that dispositioning, if you really want to learn how to create a part of yourself, do go to his website. This is just a man who has got a creative genius. It's phenomenal. DarrylHickman.net. Be sure you go there. Check things out. I know it will absolutely fascinate you. Now, telephone lines are open. I would be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. So here are the toll-free numbers you can call in to 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. If you're a Canadian, it's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial. Let me tell you what I perceive, and after that you can ask me a question about anything that you like. And for those of you that are brand new listeners, I'm so delighted you're able to join us. We're delighted to have you, and know that if you're interested in any of the programs that have been done in the past, or if you happen to miss one and say, gee, I didn't get a chance to hear it, go into our archives here at bbsradio.com. We make those available for you, and you can go in and listen as often as you want and tell your friends they can do the same thing. Okay, I do want to remind you, this coming Saturday, for those of you who are listening in the state of Washington, I would like for you to know that I'm going to be appearing at the Boeing Expo, and that is going to be this Saturday in Kent, Washington. And it is going to be an all-day event. It starts at 9 in the morning. It's over, I believe, about 5. I'm going to be there doing many consultations. Now, for directions for the Boeing Parapsychology Expo, go to their website. They'll give you the directions. They'll give you all of the information you need to know. And my booth number is going to be 60, but go to the BEPC. That's BoyEdwardPaulCharlie.com. Just pull it up on the web. You'll go in there. You'll have all of this information. This is, I believe, the oldest parapsychology expo in the country. And it has been going on in the state of Washington, as I said, for a long, long time. You're going to want to come out. It's a great family activity as well. Talented people, wonderful vendors. And, of course, I'm going to be there. And I would be delighted to have you come by, say hello. I am going to be bringing a lot of books in, so they're going to be for sale. And, again, I'll be doing many consultations. So come over to booth number 60, and I'll be there to interact with you. Now, again, 877-876-5227 for the U.S. Canadians, 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. I came across this story, and I just absolutely loved it. I have to share it with you. It just made my day. It's called Yudimut. Yes. And it's by Becky Kelly. She said she was leaving the groomers, and I could really relate to this because I have two Scottish Terriers, as you know, Victor and Kenzie, and they were just in for grooming, and it's always an adventure after they come out being groomed. They feel so good about themselves. So Becky, when she was leaving the groomers facility with her dog, she noticed a pet perfume in a display case. And she said, it's a wonder that we don't bowl each other over trying to get it because the tagline boldly announced, strong enough for a man, but made for a chihuahua. I just couldn't resist. Strong enough for a man, but made for a chihuahua. Yes. I wonder how much perfume was sold. Only to the people that had chihuahuas, obviously. Anyway, I couldn't pass that up. I just had to share that with you today. And also, I wanted to share some information with you. I've got a wonderful love story that I think that you will enjoy. Two people, so terribly lonely, that ended up finding each other, and it's a wonderful story. So if I have time today, I'll be sharing that with you. If you have a legal question, and all of us are going to experience a need at one time or another for legal counsel. I don't care if it's buying a house, if it's involving a lawsuit, insurance policy, doesn't make any difference. There are so many different circumstances that we need to have legal counsel about. Now, if you cannot afford an attorney, there are free legal services available through a pro bono group. Now, this is the website you go to if you should need this. It's lawhelp.org, lawhelp.org, and they'll give you on that website all the different requirements for whatever part of the country you might be in. Now, here are some points that are important to consider. It's often been said that in America, we're lawsuit happy. I mean, everybody wants to sue this over that, over the other, or whatever. That may or may not be true. So the thing is, when you get into using an attorney, when you get into doing a case of any kind, it's going to cost money. And there are some things you need to be aware of before you go and look at having that kind of an expenditure in your life. First, you need to determine if you really have a case. And you don't need a lawyer for small claims court. However, there is a website that you can go to that can tell you if you have a case and what you can do to enforce your position in a positive way. And the website is law.freeadvice.com. www.thebookshop.com. And they will be able to do this for you. Also, they will be able to answer specific questions at another website, thelaw.com. Thelaw.com. So you've got right there. Now, what if you've gotten a traffic ticket? There are attorneys you can go to at this website at nolo.com, N-O-L-O.com, and you can go to the section on their site that says Rights and Disputes, and you can read about different strategies that will empower you when you go in to represent yourself if you're dealing with a traffic ticket. In today's world, a very large concern is dealing with Medicare, Social Security. There are so many questions. This has evolved into an entire environment in the legal profession where there are specific specialists that deal with that. So you can go to elderlawanswers.com, elderlawanswers.com, and you can search under your state. You can address the topics. And there are going to be a lot of articles on this website that you can go through. And every state has different rules and regulations. If you're interested in finding out about a will, you can go find out about what you do if you see an attorney. You can go to findlaw.com. That's findlaw.com. And dependent on what is involved with a will, you may just want to use a simple form. On that site, you can get it. Or you can come to those areas of the country where maybe you reside and just say, I want to know what the laws are regarding making a will. What do I need to be aware of? If you have a large estate, I encourage you to see an attorney. But it doesn't hurt for you to become educated about yourself. But there are so many rules and regulations, it's unbelievable. So you need to find resources, and this is just some of them that you can do. And you can find, like, lawguru.com. You can submit a free legal question if you want. If you're a renter, you want to find out about your rights. If you're a landlord, you want to find out about your rights, you could just go to lawyers.com, and they have a section there where they will discuss legal issues. And they actually have live chat with an attorney, and it's scheduled, so you might be able to talk directly with an attorney and ask them a question that is specifically oriented to your needs and your concerns. So I just wanted to share that information with you because I think it's important. Again, all of us are going to encounter some kind of situation, and the more educated we can be about where we are living and what's involved, there are people that, for example, have property in different states, and they mainly reside in one, but they might have property in three or four different locations. So if you had an estate, that can really be something that could get locked up in probate for years. So there's just so many variables. Be willing to investigate, to ask, to educate yourself. And it may save, especially if you're making out a will, save those that are going to be recipients of your gracious good, of whatever you're going to be leaving them, to not have to go through a lot of unnecessary hassle. And that is a very good thing. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a call if you'd like to chat with me and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. My number is here, toll-free in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. And again, I want to repeat because Saturday's going to be here, just a couple of days away. If you're in the state of Washington, come on out to the Boeing Parapsychology Expo in Kent. Go to their website, bepc.com, and you will find out all of the information about parking, times, people that are going to be there. Just look it up. It's absolutely wonderful, and it's one of the oldest in the United States. And you're just going to have some wonderful, wonderful people out there, including me, and I'm going to be in booth 60. So come by and say hello. I'd love to meet with you. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. When we come back, may have a love story for you, so don't go away.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like for me to give you some intuitive insight. 877-8765-227, Canadians 888-815-9756. Tomorrow it's going to be a spooky hour. We're going to be talking about ghosts in Richmond, Virginia. Of course, Virginia is stacked sky high with them. Why, my goodness, that there's just so much history back in that state. It's unbelievable. But we're going to be going into a particular area, haunted Richmond, Virginia. And Pamela J. Kenny is going to be my guest. We are going to have a wonderful conversation with this ghost hunter special. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Karen Merringer. We're going to be talking about how you sail into your dreams. So we just have a wonderful, wonderful lineup of people. And October, my goodness, we're going to blink and it's going to be here. We just have so many wonderful, wonderful people that are going to be with us, and I'll be telling you more about that towards the end of the week. So tomorrow, we're going to be talking about a few spooks in Richmond, Virginia, and I invite you to let your friends know about it and call on in. I would just love to have you there. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227, or Canadians, 888-815 9756. How many of you have gone through a period in your life where you never, ever felt you were ever going to meet anybody that was going to be that Ms. or Mr. special in your life? Well, I came across this story by Susan, who is in Charleston, South Carolina, and she is a mature lady. And she said, I didn't have a bad life. I was a receptionist from a printing company, and she said, it was just absolutely a great life. I was healthy. I had so much to be grateful for. But she said, I just couldn't figure out what I was going to do. My life just sort of had that touch of emptiness in it. Well, she found out about an internet service that enabled her to chat with some people. And she said this was really nice. And one of the internet services that she found was a prayer group. And so she decided she'd like to contribute to this. And people would submit what their needs were. They'd type in something, and so then she would be a part of this, for all intents and purposes, international prayer group. And it made her feel very, very good. So she said, I was working two jobs. I worked late, and she said, I really, really, in my heart, decided that I really needed to have more in my life. I wanted to be able to have that Mr. Special, and she had been divorced for a number of years, and she said, there's just this emptiness here. Well, as part of this prayer group, there was this one message that popped up that was sent by a man, and he said, I've been divorced for 2 years. I have no friends, no family, and I'm really lonely. I've been praying about this, but nothing seems to change. I feel abandoned. Please pray for me. Well, when she read his very simple request, it really went to the center of her heart. Because after she had gotten her divorce, she had been married for 16 years, when the divorce was finalized, everything was done, she went into a very, very dark period in her life. She said it was just really something. So she said, I just responded. It was just coming from my heart. And I said, I want you to know you are not abandoned, and things are going to get better. I don't know how they're going to get better. I can't tell you what's going to happen. But you need to know it will get better because I understand. And you're on my prayer list. Well, when she sent that off, that's all that she did. And then it turned around the next day, and she goes in, and there's an email waiting for her. And he said, you know what? You're the only person who responded to my prayer request. Thank you so much. It really means a lot. Please don't stop writing. I need a friend. He signed his name, Mark. Well, she started corresponding with him. Now, her daughter, when her daughter found out about this, said, Mother, you are doing what? On the internet? Haven't you heard these horrible, horrible stories? And she said, yes, I have, but this just feels very different. He's not asking me for anything. He's not going through any of these other routines that you would expect typically. She said, it's conversation. This man really is very, very lonely. Well, he started communicating with her about who he was, what he did, and how he hated TV. He enjoyed sports, but he was a person that had certain interests. Well, as it turned out, she found out more and more about him, and he emailed her information on wood carving that he did. He sent her photos and things like this. He said, I want you to know that what I'm telling you about me is true, and so you can verify it if you want. This is what he did. So there was this very open conversation. Well, her daughter, when she found out about this, said, Mother, this is something. Are you sure this is what you want to do, Mom? She said, yeah. Well, there was just this feeling Susan had, the sense of trust, along with her sense of caring and compassion for this individual. And this person, Mark, wanted to send her some material, so she gave him an address to send it to, where her daughter really said, Mother, you're going a bit far here. However, she said, you know what? This is something that I'm going to do, and it's perfectly all right. I'm telling you what's going on. And if anything should go awry, you'd be aware of it. But this went on for a number of months, this wonderful communication. Well, Mark finally asked a question of her. He said, what would you think about my coming for a visit? She said, I think that would be wonderful. Well, guess what her daughter said to that? Mother, you gave me your address. Ah, yes, don't we always expect the worst? Don't we think the worst? Well, as it turned out, when they finally met, they met in a location that was very, very comfortable for both of them. And there was a wonderful connection between the two of them. She said he had the most charming smile she had ever seen in her life. And she said, from the moment we saw each other, we started talking, and we haven't stopped since. And 2 years went by, they got married, and she said, during those 2 years, we continued to call and email. We do it multiple times in a day. And he said, it was really something, because I had been so down and so depressed, I didn't feel like there was anyone in the world that I'd ever be able to communicate with. I'd lost all my faith. And here you are, the only person that responded to my prayer request. And look at the wonderful blessing we have had. I told you, it was a great story. They found each other, and they recognized each other. So trust and have faith. It works out. It really does, no matter what your age. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Believe that with all of your heart, because you've been given all of the gifts you have as a person for a reason. Maybe you can't see them all, but all you have to do is recognize one, and those other gifts and talents that you have will be opened up to you so you can live them, experience them, and share them to the fullest capacity possible. This is Donna Sebo. I'll talk with you tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.